This is the second highlight in Hebrews from chapter 1, the first three verses, the real history of Jesus. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. In just these three verses, the writer sets out the full story of Jesus. He did not begin in Mary's womb. He had been around for all the ages, since the beginning of this world of ours, and even before that. Jesus was God, part of the Trinity, so he had to have existed before he was born a baby in Bethlehem. In his magnificent opening verses, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Our writer here says in the second verse, "He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, manages to surpass that when he says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." It is very difficult to work out how it all works. Jesus was at that stage not human. He was in heaven, working for the creation and establishment of the universe, and in particular, the world. In the Old Testament, there are several ways in which aspects of God, parts of his essential identity, are referred to. He is Word, Wisdom, and Spirit. John says Jesus was the Word. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Matthew strongly hints that he was wisdom in his chapter 11 and verse 19. "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right in her deeds." He was an integral part of the Spirit, as Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me." In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 30, it is said of wisdom that at the creation she was at his side. From all these glories Jesus descended that he might provide purification for sins. A very shorthand way of talking about all he did on this world of ours, living as both God and man at the same time. The writer could have spoken of his ministry, his death, and his resurrection, but he chooses just those three words, purification for sins, to stand for those the greatest moments, probably just 3 years of them, of all time. Only then did he ascend to heaven and sit down at the right hand of God on high. From then on, there was and is a man in heaven. His role there is to hold all things together, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, to look after his people, to direct their prayers, particularly when they run out of ability to pray. There he waits the Father's signal that it is time for him to return to earth and set up the new heavens and the new earth that we are promised. I wonder whether he is impatient for that day to come, or whether he rests calmly in the confidence of his Father God.